would like you to, I'm not going to do what Brother Mills did and say, put a marker here, put a marker here, put a marker there, but put a finger there, Proverbs chapter 15, and because we're going to get there shortly, and then I want you to take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, and we'll read that first, and then we'll go to the book of Proverbs, and we are going to take some time this evening to look at several of the Proverbs that deal with the subject of speech. Not last Wednesday night because we were in our mission conference, but the Wednesday before that, we started talking about charitable living and charitable living, showing love with our speech. And we read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, all the way through chapter 14 and verse 1. And then we looked at 1 Corinthians 13 being the love chapter. And we talked about three different words that the Greek has for love in there. And then we discussed some various problems that people have with their speech. And I won't mention all those tonight, but there was something like 14 of them. And then I ended with how our speech affects others. We said our speech can stir up anger, and what we can say can wound other people, what we say can deceive other people, and what we say can separate others from God or draw people to God. Now, I want you to think about another point tonight, and if you want to make an outline, it's number one. But first of all, I want you to understand, excuse me, how our speech affects our lives. You see, our speech can affect our lives. We won't read these ones because you're all, well, nah, we'll wait. What we say, it tells us in Proverbs 6:2, can trap us. Our speech can trap us. And what we say can destroy us. And what we say can wound us. So I will tell you that bad speech can have a very negative effect on our life. Now, are you in Matthew chapter 12? I got to get there. Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. This isn't the... Let me try that the next page. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the word thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, what are the consequences if I do not control my speech? Well, just remember this, first of all. We will be judged for every idle word. Somehow it seems to me, and I'm turning the book of Proverbs now, if you're not there, you can go ahead and turn there, that in heaven, at the judgment seat where it says the books are opened, it would seem to me like there is a book of words. And the idle words are in that book, and it would seem like God's going to say, look at here. Look what you said here. Look what you said there. I mean, that's a scary thought to think that we will be judged by every idle word. That's a consequence that I could just as soon live without. But I want you to look here at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, and we're going to look at several verses in Proverbs. Did you know by the way I talk, I can cause other people to be angry? Now notice what it says. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. We can cause other people to become angry because of our speech. We need to be careful what we say, and we need to be careful how we say it. You see the word soft? The word soft isn't what you said there. The word soft is how you said what you said. And there it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Then I want you to go back a page or two, if you have to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 2. And then, another consequence, we will experience trouble and destruction. Proverbs 13 and verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. You see, our mouth can bring trouble and destruction. And then jump ahead to Proverbs chapter 16. And if you ever want to do it, you've probably figured this out already. If you want to do a good study on how we should talk, the book of Proverbs has got an awful lot to say in it. I'll tell you that right now. But fourthly, Proverbs 16:28. A forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Now listen, one of the things we can destroy our personal relationship with others by the way we talk and the things that we say. That's why when we read tonight from Ephesians chapter 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. You can destroy yourself. You can destroy your relationships. You can hurt people. You can cause other people to be angry. We need to control our mouth. Very important. Now, how can my speech, those are bad things, how can my speech benefit others? Well, go look up here. You're right there on this page. So look at Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. You see, a wise, pleasant word can give physical and emotional health to other people. It can edify them. It can build them up. It can cheer them up. That's what it can do. Then, appropriate word can enrich other people. Let's see. The closest reference I have here is 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. Ah, how good it is. An appropriate word can enrich others. There are some people, they can't edify. It's just like not in them. But it ought not to be that way. It ought not to be that way. We can enrich other people. And then look back there at Proverbs 16:24 again. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. A pleasant word can make others sweet. And then go to Proverbs chapter 20. In verse 15. There is gold and a multitude of rubies. But look at the last phrase. But the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. A word of knowledge is as a precious jewel to others. But I have to say this. The others have to have a teachable spirit. Because if they don't have a teachable spirit, it's not going to do them any good. But everybody ought to maintain a teachable spirit anyway. Then, back in Proverbs 15, where it says, a soft answer. Go ahead and turn back there. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, a good word can bring, instead of stirring up anger, a good word can bring joy to others. A soft word turns away anger, and a good word can bring joy to others. Now look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. A wise word gives wisdom and knowledge. Again, you just can't not overstate how important our language is in learning how to live charitably with our mouth. You can't really overstate how important it is. Now, what inner qualities will develop correct speaking habits? So you say, here I am. I know my speaking habits, maybe not as good as they ought to be. So what can I do to make my speaking habits a little bit better? What inner qualities will develop correct speaking habits? Well, first of all, you're going to develop a righteous, just character, and that results in this. Let's see. Let me find the ones we're closest to. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. You know how to answer other people. Sometimes you've all heard this phrase, especially when you're younger and your parents would tell you, think before you speak. You know, that is somewhat of a biblical principle. Before you start spewing off at the mouth, you ought to think what you say. And I would almost promise you, and myself included in here, that there are times when I do not think before I speak, I just speak. And sometimes the words that we say You ever have somebody say something so mean to you, you feel like saying, why don't you just punch me in the face? It wouldn't hurt as much. I mean, that's how bad our words and our mouth can be to other people. So you know how to answer others. And then, let's see, go to Proverbs chapter 10. I got three of them there. Verse 32, I'll work them backwards. You're going to know what's acceptable. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. You develop the inner quality of righteousness. It's amazing how it affects your speech. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaks frowardness. And then go back up to verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. You see, right words, righteous words, produce wisdom in people. And then I want you to look at verse 11 in Proverbs chapter 10. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. But notice it says about the righteous, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. All of these blessings come when we learn how to talk right. And then we develop wisdom. Look there at Proverbs chapter, 12. There is he that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Well, which side of that verse you want to be on? The first side or the second side? You see, it produces health to others. And then go to chapter 16 and verse 23. It's amazing how many Proverbs have something to say about our mouth. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. You see, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. You know what that's really about? And addeth learning to his lips. You know what that's about? It's being able to control your speech. Now, some people say, I can't control my speech. Oh, yes, you can. All of us can. When we develop righteousness and when we develop wisdom, we can learn how to bite our tongue. And sometimes the best thing to do is to bite your tongue and not say anything at all. Now, James talks, adds this, and we won't turn there because there's so many in Proverbs. Wisdom in our speech is something that we ought to develop. And then, thirdly, developing reverence for God. Look at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. And I'm not going to chase a rabbit too far tonight. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Now, a person that has respect and reverence for God won't speak like that. Have you listened to the liberals in the last 3-4 weeks? They are hateful. My dad, who's never been overly conservative, has even said, we were talking today, and I think he's always trying to fire me up about something. Anyhow, but we were talking today, and he even said this, I can't believe the way these people can talk with the Kavanaugh thing, how mean they are, how hateful they are. I mean, it's just absolutely disgusting. You know why? Almost none of those people reverence God at all. Many of them don't believe in God. Many of them, if any of them, are believers in Christ at all. But they don't have a right reverence for the Lord. So because they don't, well, they just go out there and say whatever. And then I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 15 again. Only not verse 1, verse 26. Developing purity. If you develop purity in your life, watch how that affects your mouth. Verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. So you've got all of these inner qualities that we have to have: righteousness, wisdom, purity. And when we have those things, it just automatically helps fix our mouth. And then I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 11. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. I just wonder is if when we develop purity with our mouth, it helps develop friendships. There's a word there that would indicate that. I'm going to say this. I don't think that I can overstate how important it is for us to control our mouth. Now, I mentioned this a moment ago. I said some people think they can't control their speech. But actually, you can. Well, I say, how am I going to control your speech? Well, let's see. Let's mark down Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35. We won't read it. I might read it later, but not now. And turn to Proverbs chapter 6. I'm trying to stick to the book of Proverbs. We're wearing out the book of Proverbs, man. Proverbs 16, 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Can I give you a bit of advice? You want to learn how to control your mouth? Ask God to change your heart. Amen. Because it says in Matthew, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. It's already there. I've heard people say this. That just slipped. No, it didn't just slip. It's already there. It's already been your heart, and it just came out. And I don't know why, but that's what it's. It's there. It's already in your heart. And then I want you to go back with me to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. So you're going to need to ask God to change your heart and change your mouth. And then I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Well, you got that right. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Here's another bit of advice. Guard your lips. You've heard the phrase teaching from Proverbs chapter 4 probably, guard your heart. But the proverb also teaches you, guard your lips. Just guard them. Make a conscious thing that you're going to just watch what you say and you're going to guard your lips. And then, let's see. Look at verse 19. Well, that was verse 19, wasn't it? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11. By the way, we're not even reading all the Proverbs on the mouth here. I know we're reading a lot of them, but we're not reading all of them. That the verse I want? Yes. A fool uttereth all his mind. Some people say, I just say what's ever on my mind. Now, I'm not going to call you this, but what's the Bible call you? A fool. I just tell it. Now, that's not the wisest thing you can do. Now, I didn't write that. Just so you know, a fool uttereth all of his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. You know, sometimes, and here's the principle. I said it once, I'm going to say it again. Think before you speak. A fool just says it. You know, some things, not everything needs to be said. Some things are left unsaid. Now, we believe in openness and we believe in honesty, but we also believe in wisdom. Not everything needs to be said, especially if it's going to hurt and tear down and cut for no necessary reason whatsoever. Just because you just feel like saying it, I guess. I don't know. Then, what should I replace incorrect speaking with? These are going to be in the New Testament, so turn to the book of Colossians chapter 4. We didn't hit them all in Proverbs, but we hit quite a few. Colossians chapter 4. Our speech, well, let me read verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace. Didn't say once in a while. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Our mouth must be seasoned, our speech must be seasoned with salt. Our speech, according to the same verse, must be gracious. It must be gracious, and it must be seasoned with salt. Now let's go back a couple pages to our original reading tonight in Proverbs. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to go back to verse 25. We didn't read that one. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for ye are members one of another. Our speech must be controlled by God's truth. I was trying to get our young people in Bible class this morning to see the importance of having an authority to turn to. And one of the illustrations I used was homosexuality. Who am I to say that homosexuality is wrong? That's not just my opinion. It was God's opinion before it was my opinion. So there has to be a place where we can turn to for our absolute authority. And that place has to be the Word of God. And so I would recommend that very strongly that you let your speech be controlled by God's truth. And then verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Our speech must edify. It must build others up. That's what it says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. And then verse 29, again, let no corrupt communicate, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Our speech must be a demonstration of grace and love for others. I can promise you mine not always is. I'm not batting 1,000 here. I don't even know that I'm batting as high as I'd like to be batting here, okay? But that's what it ought to be. And then, lastly, let me give you three more thoughts. We won't turn to these references. We've already read one of them in Proverbs. How to guard your speech. In Psalm 141 in verse 3, the Bible says that we should allow God to set a watch before our mouth. We got to let God set a watch before our mouth. And then I've said this, I'll say it a different way in Proverbs 15:28. Study carefully what you say. Think before you speak. Sometimes if you're planning a conversation with somebody, you ought to study it and be very careful. And I mentioned this too in Luke 6:45. It's the same principle. Ask God to purify your heart. And then I want you to turn lastly to James chapter 1. And I almost was going to have us read this tonight. James, not this chapter, but look at verse 19. This is a chapter 1. Wherefore, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now I'm going to tell you how this normally works. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, we are all slow to hear, swift to speak, and swift to wrath. We got it all backwards on that one. God wants us to control our mouth. God wants our mouth to be used for his glory, his honor, and for the good of others, for the building them up, and for the edification. And we develop righteousness, and we develop wisdom, and we develop purity in our hearts. You know what we learn? We learn that we can use our mouth to be charitable in living, charitable in speaking, or loving in speaking to other people. Now, how do I say this? Maybe there's some people that are a little harder to do that with than others, okay? But that doesn't excuse us. We got to watch our mouth, and we have to build people up. Father, teach us these truths. Put a watch on our mouths. Guard our lips. Help us to have wisdom, to seek righteousness, to seek purity, to realize that we can, well, we didn't read it, but James says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Probably all of us here tonight from time to time can relate to that passage of Scripture, and when we know it's wrong especially. But sometimes we think and speak so swiftly, we say wrong things and not even realizing when we say them that they're wrong things. But the damage is done. The hurt has been done. So may you grow us and teach us how to love people charitably with our mouth. In Jesus' name, amen.